Today on Real Radio.
But if you were to argue with somebody about the logic and reason of the existence of God, I think that's a very wonderful thing to keep in mind, because you've got this double-barreled reality, the Bible and what God has created.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of Luke. In fact, we're hearing a series within a series called How Jesus Builds a Church, based on the last 11 verses of Luke chapter 14. How does Jesus build his church? Well, it has little resemblance to the way people think you need to build a church today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, we love him, the Bible says, because he first, what? Loved us. What a great thing that is. I don't know about you, but I had, by the way, an amazing night on Thursday night. The Lord opened up an opportunity for Lisa and I to meet with a couple who attended this church. They live way down South Orange County, and they came here for a prophecy conference, and a very successful couple living there over the coast of Laguna with the waves crashing beneath. And we got together, introduced ourselves to one another, and we wound up taking a walk together. And this precious man, I fell in love with this guy. He began just to share his life. And I think he's about 80 years old or more. And he just began to share about how he had never known real true love in all this world, with all of his achievements and with all of his tremendous history of his life, until Jesus Christ came into his life. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And of course, I mean, I had that smile on my face when I said it. I knew exactly what he was saying. I said, I grew up in a very stern home, a very strong home, a home where I love you was not spoken. He said, so did I. Now, here's a guy of 24 speaking to a guy of 50. I wouldn't want to be 24 for all the tea in China, let me tell you. Here's a 50-year-old talking to an 80-plus guy, and we connected like this, instantly. Why? Because it was a thing of the Spirit, that the love of Jesus had invaded our lives. For him, it was some years ago. For me, it was over 30 years ago. And yet, though we didn't know each other, in a moment's time, we knew that there was a connection, and it was all about God's love, and that love now causes us to be involved. It drives us, and it constrains us. God's love is so amazing. And then we looked at our second point, verses 28 to 30, and that was that Jesus Christ builds a church by asking us to make a commitment. By asking us to make a commitment, and that commitment requires devotion. Remember that? Devotion. Devotion is that sold out absoluteness. Devotion is also a very romantic thing. The Lord wants us to follow him when we say, I love him. In fact, the Lord says these people, speaking of the nation of Israel, they say they draw near to me with their lips. They speak everything I want to hear, but their hearts are far from me. There's nothing worse than being in love alone. That's maybe one of the most loneliest places on earth, is to be in love alone. And God says, Israel, I love you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would come and believe in him would not perish, that is, would not see hell, but have eternal life. Love. And that amazing thing about devotion. And I made mention about the fact how when a couple's getting married, it's so funny, because you guys, before the service, I'm with the guys back over in the corner, and the husband-to-be, he's a mess. And even if he looks like he's got his act together, he's a mess. And it's always, I got to watch these guys, because I've seen it 100 times plus. These guys, they're like this, you know, and they're nervous. And if they're not nervous on the outside, they're nervous on the inside. And how do I know when they're, usually the guys, almost always the guys who are very cool on the outside, okay? You know, this is a big day. They are devoted to her. She's devoted to him. He's standing there, though. He's so messed up that day. He is so beside himself, but he's acting cool. Everyone's asking him, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm okay. You know what? His zipper's down almost every time. I have to get him in line. In fact, the wedding coordinators, they know this. I get them in line. I tell them, okay, now listen, don't walk so close to one another. Stay paced out. Stay at the right, you know, step. And everyone now check your zippers. Make sure they're up in the locked position. And almost always the husband-to-be, his zipper's down. Why? He's so nervous. You know, he's probably checking it and forgetting it. Am I flaps up or down? I don't know what it is. But it's the devotion just causes you to be madly in love like that. And when someone's devoted, you'll do anything. Can you bring me an ice cream sundae at 2 a.m., please, in the snow in Southern California? Yes, dear. It's that devotion. Also this, we saw that it means dedication. He asked us to make a commitment, and that commitment was a dedication. In verses 29 to 30, he says, then all who see what the man has begun to continue or to build, that he's unable to finish it, they begin to mock him. And they say to this man, he began to build it, but he was not able to finish. You and I, if we are going to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, he's saying, count the cost. If you're going to come and follow me, then stay with me, because we've got work to do. And then we ended our part one message with this, verses 28 to 30. It was all about a commitment of delight. And that word delight, as the psalmist wrote, David, King David wrote in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Sounds like an easy blab it and grab it kind of verse. Delight myself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of my heart. I want $1 million. Thank you, God. That's not what it means. That word delight means to become pliable, moldable, shapeable in the hand of God. It means to be absolutely there for him. So Jesus builds his church by laying a foundation of love. Number two, by asking of us a commitment. And here we go. Number three, by telling the truth. We pick it up there in verse 31 and 32. By telling us the truth. I love that about Jesus. And the truth is logic and reason matter. Look at verse 31. He says then to the disciples to be, of what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? What is Jesus saying? Number one, Jesus is saying, listen, if you're going to come and follow me, I want you to think this through. For example, he uses a parable. He says, if a king is going to go to war with somebody, is he going to go to war with 10,000 troops in his battle plan, knowing that his enemy's got 20,000 troops? You weigh it out. What are we going to have to do to win this battle? Jesus says, takes that analogy and he says, count the cost about following me as a disciple. You need to weigh this out. And he's inviting us to use our heads. If somebody were to say to you, Christian, I can't go to your church, you got to check your brains in at the door and come on in as some mindless, empty-headed, bonehead person, nincompoop guy, who you go to church, you Christians don't think. I want to argue with you. By the way, this ought to kind of get you going. I want you to go and research the greatest scientists of all time and find out if the vast majority of them were not Christians or Jews. In fact, for that matter, Jews have been the most recipients of Nobel Prizes. Did you know that? Just because someone believes in God doesn't mean they're stupid. In fact, if you think about it, in fact, Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith, tremendous man of God out of Europe, he's now home with Jesus. By any book he's ever written, Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith from Einingen, Switzerland, 7 earned doctorates, chief consultant to NATO on pharmacology. Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith said, listen, when you go to argue with somebody about the existence of God, he says you have 2 invaluable resources at your disposal. Number one is the revelation of God's word. He says you can use the Bible. But if they don't want to listen to the Bible, he says, that's okay. Put your Bible down, Christian. And he says, step outside the door. Take them outside the door and have them look around at the second revelation of God. He says there's a second Bible that God has given, and that is God's creation. God's creation, including you and I, will never, never violate the revealed word of God, ever. That's the awesome thing about our God. He tells the truth. When he says, I love you, he gives you the rest of the package. He says to all of us, he has said to all of us, and shall say to the world, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The question is, though, why did God give his son? He loves us, that's settled. But why did he have to give his son? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can't get to heaven from here unless I accept that message that Jesus Christ brought me, and that is that he died on the cross. He bought the ticket for me. There's nothing racist about that. There's nothing that would segregate any of us from that. It comes down to the very thrust of what Jesus is saying. Will you accept this message and take it to the world? That I came to die for all the sins of all mankind. You can never accuse God of not being loving. But if you were to argue with somebody about the logic and reason of the existence of God, I think that's a very wonderful thing to keep in mind, because you've got this double-barreled reality, the Bible and what God has created. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, in your hearts, listen, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That word set apart means hold him in a very sacred, unchallenged position. Set Christ at a high spot of your heart and life. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you for the reason for the hope that you have. I appreciate that. And do it with gentleness and respect, says the Bible. Isn't that great? The Bible says that we've got answers. And Jesus tells us the truth. And he says the truth is this: use your head. You know, most often when we talk to people, when you and I talk to people at work or at our schools or on the street, whatever, if you ask them, in fact, here's one, I'll give you a real life thing. Now, working at a church, I don't hear people cuss all that often. And when I say cuss all that often, I don't mean our staff cusses. They only cuss sometimes. No, they don't. No, they don't. No, but people call and cuss. Okay, I just want you to know that. They just do that. Is this Pastor Jack? Yes. Well, you beep and beep and, you know, well, you have a nice day too. You know, okay, listen. If you hear somebody, maybe you're swinging your hammer and you're at the workplace or you're at the, wherever you're at, and somebody uses the Lord's name in vain. Jesus Christ this, or they're asking God to damn that thing or to damn this thing or, you know, and they're just spouting off. You know what? You have an open door. It's an open door. They opened the door for you. To what? To do what? To walk up to them and say, what did you say a moment ago? Were you just praying? I heard the Lord's name. I'm a Christian. Were you praying? Or ask them, do you believe in God? No, why? Oh, you just used his name. I'm curious, what's the connection? You don't believe in him, but you used his name? What's the deal? Anyway, I mean, I do believe in God. I've actually done this, what I'm telling you. I've done this. I'm a Christian. I'm curious. You don't believe in him, right? No, I don't believe in him. You guys, this is awesome. Ask them, why? You know what I have heard by far most often? Because the church is full of hypocrites. Dude, I believe, I agree with you. You know what people say? I don't believe in God because, and there's a big hurt in their life. Listen, who doesn't have a hurt? Oh, but my hurt's bigger than your hurt. My hurt's bigger, right? All of our hurts hurt the most. That's what makes it ours. That's mine. But listen, Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring me your burdens. Bring me those things that hurt you. And what does he say? I'll take those away from you. Oh, man, you want therapy? One word, Jesus. He's over the top. He's awesome. He's absolutely glorious. And he tells us the truth about our lives and about what we need to hear from him. It's very powerful. Now listen, he tells us the truth. Listen to what he says about logic and reason. How does this fit? In Matthew 19:28, Jesus says, and everyone who has left his house, his brother, his sister, his father, his mother, or his wife, or child, or country, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold in this life, and in the life to come, eternal life. What is he saying? When Jesus said earlier, last week, that you need to hate these others, and remember what that means, that your love for them wanes in comparison to your love for God. When Jesus says, if you're going to be a disciple, you've got to be willing to leave all to come and follow me. For those of you who are disgruntled in your marriages, it doesn't mean, look, I got to be a disciple and I have to leave. What did it say? House, children, wife, and husband. That's not what it means, you crazy person, you. That's not what it means. He's saying, listen, if I bid you to go to Detroit, go to Detroit. If I bid you to go to Bangkok, go to Bangkok. He says, if I tell you to go to Albertsons and share the good news, a disciple says, yes, Lord. Listen, I mean, we've all gone through the no Lord stuff. And I think I'm going to learn, but I don't, because I'm sure tomorrow he'll say, do this. I'm going to say, no, Lord. And then it may take a minute. It could take an hour. It could take a day. He always gets his way. And you wind up caving in because Father knows best in everything. Logic and reason. Secondly, under this point, Jesus tells us the truth. That's how he builds his church. He does this, and the truth is that we are to be yielding and surrendered. And that's the key to our spiritual growth, to be yielding and surrendered. You guys, it's the opposite of the way the world works. The world says, grab all the gusto you can. The world says, look out for number one. The world says, climb that ladder and kick everybody off on the way up. That's how the world works. In fact, Jesus put it this way. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, that is, you give it to him, he says you'll find it. Happy is the person who discovers that truth. Huh? You think, I think, controlling everything is the way it ought to be? Dude, you're just getting an ulcer. You're going to die young. But it's hard to believe. It takes a lot of faith to believe that Jesus says, let it go. Give it to me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast, the word in Greek is heave, not vomit, but throw it. Throw all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. I like to put it this way. Heave all of your concerns upon him because he carries it for you. And when you're not looking, he'll throw it away. Because you and I worry 99% of the time over stuff that has no bearing on our lives. He says right there in verse 32, or else while the other is still a great way off, the other army of 20,000 is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. Jesus is saying, listen, count the cost. And if you don't think that you can, listen, if you don't think that you can win this thing, then you ask for conditions of peace. Hey, that's a smart thing to do in war. It's a smart thing to do in politics. It's a smart thing to do in business. And it's a great thing to do. It's an essential thing to do in your relationship with God. That is this. Church, listen carefully. If I'm going to be a disciple, one of the biggest things that keeps you and I from following Jesus is an overriding sense of failure. What if I fail at it? Jesus is saying to us this. Forget about that. Remove that from the table. It's all of him. He does it. You guys, let me be the first to tell you, we do not achieve whatever we do achieve for the kingdom of God by any skills or talents of our own. God will not share his glory with anybody else. How do things get done in the kingdom of God? Woe unto the man who, da-da-da, I can do it. Let me do it. I can do it. We don't want that kind of people around. Why? Because if you're doing it, then you're the one doing it. And that's not going to work. But for the rest of us who come to God and say, God, I'm going to send a delegation, conditions of peace. What is it, Jack? I can't do this. I can't be a pastor. I can't love people like you want me to love them. I can't do this stuff. And then you might say, well, gosh, Jack, that's me. I want to help in the children's ministry, but I'm afraid of failing. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God does it through us. That's the amazing trick, blessing, gift of Christianity. Once you're saved, God says, let's go. Now, look, if you're on the cross or if somebody's got a sword to your neck and they're going to cut your head off, accept Jesus. Now, you'll never have a chance to become a disciple. But if you and I are living for him right now and able, maybe he gives us the next 10 years or the next 10 weeks, and we have the chance to go and affect the world for Christ, then listen, get up and go follow him. Trust him completely, because you know what? Through him, you can overcome anything. And the thing is this, that when you follow him, God will open up doors that at the end of the day, your mouth will be hanging open. Because you know what? God is not into spectator Christianity. At the end of the day, your job will be hanging open saying, God, this has been an awesome day. Is your Christianity boring? You're doing it wrong. You follow him, and I'll tell you, your heart will spin. I don't get people. If you know me, if you know my family, some of you, we've played together, gone to Disneyland together. It is true I'm a coward of rides. I don't like rides. That's why God made airplanes. If God put wings on an airplane, make perfect sense to me, but you are not going to strap me on a roller coaster. That's tempting the Lord thy God, in my opinion. I don't need that kind of rush. Oh, come on, man, it's really cool. Your stomach's like this and your hair. Oh, come on, let's do it. I don't need it. I'm a Christian. What do you mean by that? Dude, follow me. Let's walk with Jesus. And your stomach's going to go like this. And your hair is going to go like this. Why? Because you know what? He's anything but boring. Too many people are doing their Christianese thing, talking Christianese, and all the little stuff. They got the little deal, but there's no one's being affected in the world that they live in. And Jesus says to the vast majority in the crowd, he says, if you come, count the cost, but let's go. We've got things to do. Point number four, and it's this, we'll end on point four. It's verses 33 to 35, how Jesus Christ builds a church. It's this, by requiring effectiveness. What will be the evidence that I'm a true disciple, follower, mimicker of the Lord Jesus? Wow, one of the things is what's called the fruit of the Spirit. In your Bibles, in Galatians 5:22, the word Spirit is capital S. Whenever you come to the capital S on Spirit in your Bible, it is the Holy Spirit, okay? Lowercase s means it's a human spirit or a demonic spirit or an angel spirit, anything but God. Capital S, it comes out of the Greek, it's deity, it's Christ, it's God, all right? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Stop right there. Who in this world would not want to have in their life an awesome, powerful, heavenly given love? Who would not want that? And then joy. You know what's so cool about joy? Joy flies above the circumstances. Another word for circumstance is happenstance. You ever heard that old English word? That means what's going on here and now. Why is that important? Because I'm affected by what's happening here and now. A lot of people live their lives like that. They're affected by the immediate. They don't have any joy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How Jesus Builds a Church. It's actually a mini-series within our series through the Gospel of Luke, taken from chapter 14 and verses 25 through 35. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently on Veterans Day, we had a very special broadcast for that very special day. If you missed it, be sure and visit us at realradioactive.org. But here's Pastor Jack with a message in light of that. Pastor Jack?
Mike, on November 11th, which was Veterans Day, we made a special offer to all of our listeners, and we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to secure their own copy of this amazing DVD teaching that took place right here at Calvary Chapel. And I'm talking about, of course, the offer of General William Boykin's amazing message that he gave here at Calvary, which dramatically affected my life personally. And I think it's a message for everyone, not just for those who are in armed services today defending our faith, our families, and our freedom. But this message is strategic, in my opinion, for the Christian body today. General Boykin is a legend in our modern-day forces. He was one of the founding fathers of the U.S. Army's Delta Force team. He was a commander of the Special Forces for the U.S. Army, as well commander of all Green Beret operations. Over 30 years serving the United States in the U.S. Army, General Boykin delivers a message that I believe every Christian has to hear, but I'm thinking specifically right now how powerful it would be if you could secure a copy of this for yourself and get it into the hands of someone that you know who may be out there or heading out there into harm's way, because it will embolden your faith. It will strengthen you. And if it does that to you, how much more for those who need strengthening at a time like this, who are going out to defend our faith, our family, and freedom. So you can get your own copy by going to realradioactive.org. That's one big word, realradioactive.org. Or you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And listen, this is going to be sent to you for a gift of any amount. And we mean that sincerely. This message has got to get into your heart and into your walk. God bless you.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.